Amen, preacher.
I know there are not many voices here today, but I think you did a good, really good job with the singing under the leadership of Brother Miles this morning. I want to thank those of you that are here because I know it's an inclement weather day, but you know what? We live in Chicago.
Amen.
These things happen, and it may happen again. It's not out of the realm of it happening. And if some of you who may have been around back in the 60s when we had that huge snowstorm, and we managed that so we can manage this. So don't be afraid. God knows what He's doing. When He put the snow down, He'll also get it up when He's ready.
Amen.
So let us just remember to trust in God and continue to be faithful and continue to serve God, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, or whether it's just warm or cool. Let us remember God is in charge. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Acts, the second chapter, starting at verse number 22, and I'll reread it. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom also God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For a little while this morning, I'm going to try to be short because I realize that the weather is not the greatest, but nevertheless, I know some of you are going to have to get out and be gone all day tomorrow. So we're just going to do our best, and we're going to try to make this a little shorter this morning than we originally planned. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Oh, before I do that, I just wanted to say that Brother Paul McReynolds has asked for the church to continue their prayers for him as he and his wife travel out of town. But he is doing better and he's coming along, but he just wanted the church to continue to pray for him. And continue to pray for any of those that you know that are sick, in addition to those that we know are on our sick list. So with that said, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again, O Lord. We have been blessed because we have been found worthy of your blessings. And that's the only reason we are blessed, O Lord, because you have given us your blessings. Amen. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have allowed us to still be here among the land of the living and given us another opportunity to serve thee in spirit and in truth. Another opportunity to call out thy name. Another opportunity to stand at the footstool of thy mighty throne. We thank you, O Lord, for all of these and many other blessings. We thank you this morning, Father, for those who are in our midst this morning. And we thank you for those who are unable to be with us due to sickness, due to traveling, or due to some other circumstance beyond their control. We thank you for those that are here, though, and once again, O Lord, we pray and thank you for those who have made journeys and have returned to us safely as well. We thank you this morning, Father, for the sick and the shut in, and pray that they may be blessed to be healed, and if not, that you would give them relief and that your will might be done. We pray for those who have lost loved ones in the past week or two, and we pray and ask you, Father, to continue to give them strength and to bless them as they continue on in this life. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, and we pray for those who shall come afterwards as we continue to do our best to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for our leadership this morning and their families, and for the brothers and their families who have taken that part in these services or who will take their part in the services. We pray for all of those, Father, who are here today, and pray once again for those who are not here as well. We thank you and pray and thank you for your Son, Jesus, who went up Calvary's hill, hung on yonder's cross, died and lived again and still lives for us, O Lord. We thank you for everything you do for us And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we ask all of these and many other blessings. Let us all say, amen. This morning, for a little while, we're going to speak about, from a subject, if the gospel is not real. There is very little difference in the people to whom Peter preached to on Pentecost in his day and the people who we preach to today. Some refused to believe on Jesus then, and there are those still who refuse to believe on Him. Since we are here today, it is a given that God has allowed us to enter into a new year. Last week we were talking about the end of the year, now we're talking about the beginning of a brand new year. God has allowed us to see another new year come in, and for that fact alone we should be grateful to Him. And we must learn to serve Him in order to be and give Him our thanks for everything that He does for us. Amen. In order to be truly grateful, we must have faith in Him, trust in Him, and most of all, believe on Him. Mm-hmm. Today, if we were to allow our minds to suppose that the gospel were not true, where would we be if the gospel is not true today? Mm-hmm. Where would we be if it were not for the gospel? Well, if you can allow your mind just to think for a moment that if the gospel were not real, if the gospel were not true, then the biblical account would be a lie. And I speak of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. There would be no need to believe in the biblical account of the Corinthian writer, in the words of the Corinthian writer. Turn over with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verses number 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, where it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which was I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scripture." Now, if that biblical account is true, and which we, all of us, I believe that it is. And if that be not, if Jesus did not rise from the grave, if Jesus was not killed on yonder's cross, if Jesus did not go into the grave and then be brought out of the grave, then none of that is worthy of our belief. Uh-huh. Paul would not have had to declare this gospel which he preached. He taught this same gospel wherever he went. Had it been a lie, that would make God a liar, Jesus a fraud, and the whole world foolish for believing on Him. But thanks be to God, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Amen. According to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18, I believe it is, by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, that means it is impossible for God to lie. Unlike men who can lie at any moment, at a moment's notice, God cannot lie. God is not a liar, and you can't ever find a lie that God told in God's Word. It's impossible for God to lie. In Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, again, we can read, "In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." God has promised unto us eternal life. And you'll notice when He makes a promise, He keeps the promise. Before the world began, He made that promise. He promised that before the world began that we might have eternal life. He was going to find a way that we could have eternal life. And He found that way, or He had that way already set up and ready. God cannot lie. It is simply up to each one of us to believe on the gospel. And you know what? Some folk will tell you, "I believe the Bible, but I don't believe that Jesus was hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross." But the biblical account gives us how that Jesus went to His death, His burial and His resurrection. This is why the Corinthian writer said in chapter 15, verse number 13 and 14. Look what it says in verse number 15, chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. We talk about faith all the time. We talk about how you need to have faith. But if Christ be not risen from the grave, then our faith is in vain. So as we continue to go on and we look a little bit further in this, then we must understand that the Bible is the truth. And you know what? If the Bible is not the truth, then what else do we have to believe in? Where else can we get our promises from? We know that man can't give us anywhere eternal with eternal life to live after we leave this world. There would be no Savior if the gospel is not real. Who and why would we be here today? Well, according to verse number 22 of Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 22. As Peter spoke to, he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also." Now these people knew about it. Some of them had actually experienced it, but yet they still chose not to believe in Jesus. They had seen the marvelous works. They had seen the wonders and the signs and the miracles that Jesus did. Jesus was a man approved of God. Even though some men did not and still do not approve of Jesus, God, who matters, approved him, and he gave him power to do miracles. So there's a question that I need to ask of men today. If you're not going to believe on Jesus, whom or what do you worship in? Is it money? Is it goods? And there's a compelling argument or a compelling reason or a compelling case, I might add, on that presented in Matthew chapter 6. And verse number 19, where Jesus himself speaks, he said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal." But then in verse number 20, he said, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and thieves do not break in or break through, nor do they steal it." So we've got to lay up our treasures in heaven. We've got to lay up heavenly treasures. You know, there's an old song that they sing about a lot. "I'm sending up my timbers." Yes, sir. "I'm sending up my timbers. I'm sending my prayers up unto the Lord," in other words. "I'm sending my trust up unto the Lord." You know, if I couldn't pray to the Lord, who would I pray to? If I couldn't, every morning when you fall on your knees, if you couldn't ask God to bless you that day upcoming and thank Him for the night in which you slept, who then would you be praying to? So, we've got to lay up heavenly treasures. We are doing a good thing when we lay up heavenly treasures. Money will lose its luster over time, but when we put our faith in God, we are building up heavenly treasures. Some people like to put their beliefs and their trust in men. But I'm here to tell you this morning that no man has a heaven nor hell to send us to. Oh yeah, they can create trouble for us while down here on this earth. But they can't give us eternal life. Only Jesus, through His gospel, can offer us eternal life. Man can cause us to go to hell or send us on our way to going to hell by following him. Do you remember Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, where it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So I ask you this morning, why not believe in somebody who's already approved in heaven? Why not believe in somebody who's already in heaven? Why not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? There would be no hope if the gospel be not real. If the gospel is not real, there would be no hope for us. And according to Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 13, Christians can view death a little different than the world because of our beliefs of the Bible and because we have that faith that I spoke of a moment ago. When we allow God to dwell in us, we can see death differently than the world around us. We can see death not as our enemy, but instead as our friend. We can understand it is a blessed occurrence. According to Revelation 14 and verse number 13, look what the Bible says. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth and forevermore. You shall be the spirit that they may rest from their labors. That the Spirit said that we may rest from their labors and their works do follow. Because we believe we can see death as rest from our labors. Sometimes when life throws us curveballs and we run into unfortunate circumstances, we run into sorrow and heartaches, but we have hope through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can also look upon death as a homegoing. The book of 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 7 and verse number 8 give us more insight into showing that we don't have to see Jesus in order to believe in Him. In verse number 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. If we are confident, we are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now I say to you this morning, we've got to trust in someone. And I believe that someone ought to be Jesus Christ. I know when we woke up this morning, some of us looked out the window and the first thing many of us thought was, I'm just going to roll over and go back to sleep because there's too much snow out there. But see, when you trust in the Lord and you know who your Savior is, you realize, I got to get up from here. I've got to get up so that I can get ready and get away from my house and go to the Lord's house. But you know something? It's so many folk that don't believe in the Lord that they say, well, I'm just going to lay here a little while longer. And if I wake up, I'll get up. But if I don't wake up, I won't get up. But see, you may not wake up permanently. So you got to ask the Lord to bless you that you may have this day. I'm glad today that God has left us His truth through His Word. And because it's one's choice to either believe or not at all, all one needs to do is to look around and compare what the gospel of Jesus Christ offers us. Given His Word, then look at to this world to see what it offers. Anyone with any sense would rather have a life of living for Christ than a death without Him. At least that's what I think. All right, amen. We can trust in His power. We can trust in His protection. We can trust in His provisions. And most of all, we can trust in His promises. All we have to do is to come to Him, believe in Him, and live for Him. Have faith enough in Him that He is able to answer our prayers. Then ask Him for whatever we would. You know, God is good. Not just some of the time. God is good to us. Any day that we are above ground, God has been good to us. You know, any time when you sit down at your table and you got food, and many of us have so much food, we have to make choices about what we're going to eat. God is good to us. God is very good to us. And then just because it happens to be a day where there's not very much sunshine in the day, because it happens to be a day full of snow, we look at things somewhat differently. And we say to ourselves, why did God send all this snow? So you could go out there and shovel it. So you could go out there and get it up, and then when he gets ready, he'll put a little bit more down on top of that. But God is always good to us, that when we have faith, we'll come to understand that, and there should be no doubt whether the gospel is real or if it's a lie. I promise you I wasn't going to be but a couple of minutes, and I'm going to bring this thing to a close now. In Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, look at verse 23. In verse number 23, the Bible says, "Him being delivered by a determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him." So here's the biblical account. Peter saying to those people of Israel, "You have slain him. You put him on the cross. You gave him a mock trial, and then you hung him and crucified him on yonder's cross." But then in verse number 24, look at the clarification there. He says, "Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now I tell you something about that, church. God had made provisions that Jesus was not going to stay in the grave forever. God already knew about it. God had already predetermined it. God knows what he's doing, and I don't doubt him anytime. The Bible, if the gospel is a lie, then that would not be true in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. There would be no reason for him to admonish those people about what they did if it be not true. If the Bible teaches us that God had the knowledge of Jesus and it was predetermined, and the foreknowledge of God, that, and because these men didn't believe, they nailed Jesus to the cross. But yes, God raised him up again. And yes, the gospel is real. And there is no need for us not to believe the Bible. There is no need for us to doubt the miracles and wonders of the Bible. There is no need for us to wonder just how true the Bible is. There's an old saying when people are talking, a lot of times they'll say something like this. They'll say, "Put your money where your mouth is." But I say to you this morning, you need to put your soul where you want it to rest, or whom you want it to rest in, that you may be found, that you may find Jesus, that may be the one you put your soul in charge of, because the soul is going back to him at any rate, but you want it to be with him for eternal life. So once again, if the gospel be not true, and you go over once again with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 14, verse number 1 through 4, I should say. And you look over and you say to yourself, look at verse number 3 and verse number 4. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ," number 1, "he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And number 2, he was buried. And number 3, he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures." And then verse number 5 completes it all. He said, "And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12." And verse number 6, "After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep." Oh yeah, we don't have any witnesses living today, but God knows that his word, the witnesses, can be found in the Bible, in the words of God. I tell you this morning, God is good to us. I tell you this morning that without God, we wouldn't have made it to this new year. And I tell you something about making it to this new year. Because we made it into the first Sunday in this new year, doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have a whole lot of more Sundays. So what I'm saying to you is you need to prepare and get ready. And I read something the other day that said, went something to the effect like this. If you're not prepared to die, don't get in an automobile. If you're not prepared to die, don't walk under ladders. If you're not prepared to die, don't be involved in riding roller coasters. Because many accidents occur to people on roller coasters. If you're not prepared to die, then you ought to get prepared to die, because death is coming. Death is coming just as sure as we live. Death is coming. Just as sure as the Bible is telling us the truth about the gospel, you can be sure that Christ is coming once again. You can be sure that He's coming back. And guess where He's coming to? He's coming for His church. Where are we at? In His church. How do we stay in His church? We come to Him by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you're not already a member, that's the steps you take. But if you are a member in some way, you walk the straight. And I guess I just need to clarify once again. Mm-hmm. Members do walk a straight. Mm-hmm. You can say I don't, but you do. From the preacher all the way to the back door. You walk astray because you're not a perfect person. Because there is no one perfect. So we need to make sure that we have the Lord on our side. And yes, the gospel is real. It's not a fraud. Jesus is not a fake. And God is not a liar. If you want to be a part of the church of Christ, I've given you the steps. You can come forward as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 650.